present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. In view of God's mercies, we must, here's the point, and we can live holy and acceptable lives. There's no indication that Paul is telling them to do something they cannot do, or that he tells them to do this solely so they will realize how bad they are.
This weekend on the Songtime broadcast, we wrap up our study in the book of Romans. This message from Kevin DeYoung takes us to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. A reminder that we're called to submit our lives as living sacrifices that are holy and acceptable and pleasing to God. Stay tuned for that message. But first, a year in review, we look back at our conversation with Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs as we look forward to this weekend celebrating across the globe the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. The many voices are coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. This weekend, we are looking back into the previous year of interviews, and today we're going to hear from Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs. This weekend is actually the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, and I thought it very fitting, again, to hear from Todd Nettleton as he shared with us back in September about this very important day. Because this is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, we want to challenge you to join with Christians all across the world, even those who are suffering in prison, as they join together in prayer for the kingdom of God to come on earth, even as it is in heaven. This is our prayer. It's the same prayer being prayed all across the world this weekend. So to tell us more about the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, here is my interview from earlier this year in September with Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs.
The International Day of Prayer for Persecuted Christians, most churches will celebrate the first Sunday in November. Now, some will be the second Sunday, and if you look at your church calendar and think, man, our November's already booked up, well, do it the last Sunday in October then. Do it the first Sunday in January. You just pick a Sunday. Make sure that persecuted Christians are a part of your church congregation, a part of your prayer time, a part of your church family. And as you mentioned, Voice of the Martyrs provides resources. Every year we do a short video. This year the video focuses on the country of Nepal and a story of a persecuted Christian in Nepal. And so it's a short video you can show maybe in your service to the whole congregation. Maybe it's a Sunday school class, a Bible study group, but it's a perfect kind of springboard to help understand, okay, who are we praying for? What do they look like? What are they going through? What are the challenges they're facing? Okay, now we can pray more knowledgeably, now that we can really lift them up because we have some understanding of what their needs are and what they're facing. And the thing I always remind people of, when we go, when I go, when others here at Voices of the Martyrs go and sit down with persecuted Christians, and one of the questions we ask is, okay, how can we help you? How can American Christians help you? What can they do for you? The first thing they ask us to do every single time we ask that question, the very first thing they say is, well, pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for us. And so the International Day of Prayer for Persecuted Christians is a direct response to their number one request, that we pray for them. And so I hope every single church is involved in some way. Now, some churches are going to give the whole service. The pastor's going to preach about persecution. They're going to have a special prayer time. We've actually heard from churches that hold an underground church service where they maybe meet in a different room and you have to know what the knock is to get in the door. And we've heard from churches who just that their prayer time that day, the pastoral prayer time that they have every week, that day it is just focused on persecuted Christians. There's lots of ways to get involved, but like I say, I just hope every church is doing something to say, hey, these are our family members. We're going to remember that. We're going to honor them on this Sunday.
And prayer is such an important reminder. We have to be reminded to pray because in a lot of ways, these countries that we're going to be praying for are out of sight, out of mind. We don't see them very often. We don't hear reports unless you're plugged into Voice of the Martyrs and getting their free magazine. You might not even know that these things are taking place around the world. If you're like me that is kind of plugged out of social media and doesn't watch much news, it's very difficult to get reports. So that's why one of the reasons I'm so grateful for Voice of the Martyrs. But we like to instruct our listeners, if you are watching the news and you see a report of something that's happening around the world, it's just a click away to go over to Voice of the Martyrs and find out what's really happening behind the scenes. So check out their website at persecution.com. But with that being said, or is it persecution.org? I always mix it up.
Persecution.com.
Persecution.com.
Right.
Perfect. Well, one of the reasons we want to have you on the broadcast and we want to find out what's happening around the world. And obviously, what is often in the forefront of many of our listeners' thoughts and prayers is the Middle East. So give us a little bit of an update of what's happening there.
Well, we actually have some really amazing good news from the Middle East. Last month, a pastor in the Middle East, a pastor who was reaching out to a very unreached people group, was actually making progress. His church was growing. People were coming to faith in Christ. He was kidnapped last month by a terrorist group there, and a really difficult situation. His church members were getting little short video clips of him being mistreated in captivity. The threat was, we're going to hang your pastor. He's going to die. And this is in a part of the world where when one of these terrorist groups gets you, you don't come back from that. like that, the chances of being rescued, the chances of anything working out where you walk away from that are just very, very small. However, God's people prayed. God's people prayed in his church in the Middle East. God's people prayed in America. Others who heard about this pastor prayed, and he was rescued in somewhat of a miraculous way. God used an unbeliever to open the door for him to be rescued. And I don't know all the details. I probably never will know all of the details, but just an amazing answer to prayer for this pastor. He's a young man. He's only been married about 2 years. He and his wife have a 9-month-old baby. And so she was very, very upset, very stressed about him being taken. But this is just an amazing answer to prayer for him to be back home with his family, back with his church family. And one of the things, and I think it's really important, one of the things that he said after he was released was how important scripture memorization was to him. This is a man who came out of a Muslim background. And so a lot of Muslims will memorize big chunks of the Quran as a way of showing their devotion, as a way of, you know, demonstrating, well, I'm, you know, I really am committed to this. Look, I've memorized all of this. He, after he became a Christian, said, well, wait a minute, I need to have that same passion for the Bible, for the true word of God. And so he had memorized big, big chunks of scripture. And he talked about how important that was when he was held with a blindfold on the whole time. So he never knew if it was day or night. They would come in and beat on him occasionally, and just really, really difficult circumstance. But he talked about being able to quote the scriptures and how God would bring those scriptures back to his mind. And one of them was in the Psalms where it says, wait on the Lord. And, you know, you can imagine you're being held hostage, you're being beaten on, you're blindfolded. Wait on the Lord. It's like, Lord, I feel like I've waited long enough. But he said, God would just remind him, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. And that was a powerful message to help him withstand the challenges of that situation. And like I say, just what an amazing answer to prayer. The expectation was, this pastor's not going to survive. Mm-hmm. Like this is a terrible situation. We're probably not going to get him back. It took divine intervention, and God did indeed intervene, and we just praise the Lord.
We've been talking with Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs, a ministry that keeps us well informed on how to better pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are suffering in chains. It's a ministry that we want to promote to you, and you can get a copy of their free newsletter. Sign up on their website at persecution.com. And of course, if you want to sign up to get all of the great information available for you, the media that they have for the International Day of Prayer coming up in November, you can find that on their website as well. It's a great ministry, one that is such a great comfort to us, a reminder to us about how we are connected with everyone in our faith across the world. It's always a privilege to have Todd with us. Todd, again, thank you for being a part of the many voices for that one message.
It has been my pleasure. I always enjoy our conversations, Adam, so thank you for having me.
We've been listening to my interview with Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs from earlier this year, and the reason we had him on the broadcast again this weekend is to remind you that this Sunday is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And this is an opportunity for us to pray together with Christians all around the world, in particular those who are suffering in chains. If you have made note of what's happening around the world and all of the wars and the violence and the threats and even the persecution, then you know that this world does not acknowledge Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. They refuse to bow the knee and they refuse to confess that He is the God of the world, and He is the Lord, and He is the Savior of all. Until that day, we pray with Christians all across the world that the gospel and His kingdom would spread, but also that Christ will return and establish His kingdom here on earth, even as it is in heaven, as Jesus taught us to pray. So this weekend, join with us and Christians all around the globe praying for the persecuted church. To find out more information, visit Voice of the Martyrs or give us a call at 508-362-7070. Well, today we are continuing, or actually wrapping up, our series this weekend and the study of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, a reminder to lay down our lives, to deny ourselves, and to become a living sacrifice for the kingdom of God. In this message, Kevin DeYoung points out that there is a very important principle that we often overlook here: to present our bodies as holy and acceptable to God. Here is Kevin DeYoung.
One single simple truth I want to spend our time on: you can be holy. See, it's one thing to say, well, here's a sermon, yes, I must be holy, but do you believe that you actually can be holy? I want to start with Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so, look at the different language Paul uses to describe this Christian life. If you're here this morning, think, what does it really mean to live like a Christian? Well, he gives a number of synonyms, parallels. He says in verse 1, it means presenting your body as a living sacrifice. So Christian means, here I am, Lord, take all of me, do what you want with me, with my time, with my efforts, with my gifts, I'm a living sacrifice for you. At the end of verse 1, calls it spiritual worship. So you may think that you come here for an hour and a little bit, and you say, this is worship, and it is, but your whole life is worship. God's not interested just that you give Him an hour and a half each week, but your whole life is lived for Him in a spirit of worship. Look at verse 2. So being a Christian means you're not conformed to the world. So there's going to be ways you're going to stand out. If you don't want to stand out, if you're not prepared to be different, then you're not prepared to really live a Christian life. The flip side of that is that you are transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now, this is a process. It doesn't happen immediately. It's not like you pray a prayer, you become a Christian, and then, oh, I don't have bad habits anymore. I don't have wandering eyes. I'm not interested in lust. I know where all the forks go at the table. This is, wow, immediate. It's a process of transforming you. And then you see at the end of verse 2 that you may discern what is the will of God. So some of you are really desperate to know the will of God. Who should I marry? Where should I live? What career should I take? And we tie ourselves up in knots when God tells us very clearly what His will is in Scripture. And I can tell you this morning, this is the will of God, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, your sanctification. So that's God's will. Now, does He care about the rest? He certainly does. But there may not be a right or wrong answer for what your major is. But there is a right or wrong answer on whether or not you obey the will of God as revealed in Scripture. So that's what it means to be a Christian. Now, I want you to look back up at verse 1. One phrase here that I skipped, and this phrase summarizes this kind of life. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. In view of God's mercies, we must, and here's the point, and we can live holy and acceptable lives. There's no indication that Paul is telling them to do something they cannot do, or that he tells them to do this solely so they will realize how bad they are. What about justification by faith alone? Isn't it the case that none of us can earn God's favor? It's solely based on Christ's work, which God counts to us when we believe in him, apart from our works? Yes, that's true. And nothing Paul is saying here denies one tiny particle of that truth. So he believes that apart from Christ, no one is righteous, no, not one, Romans 3. Believes that we are justified by faith apart from works of the law, Romans 3. Believes that God chooses us based on nothing we've done, Romans 9. And he believes that as a child of God, you can be holy and acceptable with the way you live. Jesus is glorified not only in saving you from sin, but saving you out of sin. He's glorified by his mercies that forgive you and also his mercies that change you. If we are to be passionate in our pursuit of personal holiness, the first thing we must establish is that holiness is actually possible for the believer. Now, here's the problem. Here's why we have such a hard time with this language of holy and acceptable. Holy and acceptable. Am I living a Christian life that is holy and acceptable to God? The problem is we equate that language with absolute sinless perfection. What I'm getting at is this. We need a category of obedience and a category of good works that's not meritorious, not self-justifying, not flawless, and yet genuinely, sincerely obedient and pleasing to God. You have permission to see evidences of grace in your life. You are expected to be obedient, but you are allowed to be obedient. You will never be perfect. You cannot do anything to earn God's love, but as a born-again sinner, you do not have to be a spiritual failure. By the mercies of God, you can present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do you have that relationship with God? When your spouse says something so just biting and hurting, and he or she knows just what to say to hurt you, and you don't respond in kind, and you choose to forgive and to move on, do you know God is pleased? Kids, when mom or dad ask you to do something, you don't complain, you just get up, okay, and you do it. Do you know God is pleased with that? When you take a stand for your faith, do you feel his pleasure, his delight in your obedience? Just as any father would with his children who want more than anything in life to make dad happy, be pleased. So you need to know, those who have been made right with God by grace alone, through faith alone, adopted into God's family by his undeserved mercy alone, your righteous deeds are not filthy rags to God. Your obedience is precious to him, pleasing to him, and it is possible.
Dr. Kevin DeYoung, who we just heard teaching from Romans 12, 1 and 2, is also the author of a great book called The Hole in Our Holiness. You heard a snippet about what that book is about, but it's a great resource if you're interested in kind of diving into what he was talking about here today in Romans 12, 1 and 2. A great reminder to us that we are called to be holy and to follow Christ in our sanctification. And this is really the culmination of an entire series leading up to this point in the book of Romans, where Paul says he is not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, but it's also for us to find in this power the righteousness of God revealed to men from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. We are to live by this faith that will guide us day by day. Well, how do we stay in touch with the Holy Spirit? How do we become discerning, like it says here in Romans 12, 1 and 2? And how do we know what is right for us? We must be led by the Spirit. That Spirit is leading us to holiness. A reminder that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And why does sin remain? So that the Holy Spirit, who is deposited inside of every single believer, can draw us into Christ likeness. That's the key element here. The Holy Spirit is at the center of all of it. If you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, understand that that is not a very hospitable environment for the Holy Spirit. We're sinners. Our flesh doesn't do the things that we want to do. But when we trust God, when we do what is right, even though we don't want to do it, that is pleasing and honoring to God. When we do what is holy, that is where the Spirit of God is pulling us to do. Mind you, the Spirit will make you holy. It will be with you till the end when you are glorified, and it will continue to pull you through that process, through much struggle, much suffering, and even some trials and tribulations, all for the purpose of making you holy. Oftentimes we quote Romans 8, where it says that the Spirit makes groanings for us. Many times we think that's because he's crying out where we are in so much pain, asking for relief. In fact, in the context in Romans chapter 8, what the Holy Spirit is doing is crying out to God, let's refine this body, let's refine this flesh, because you and I would never ask for that in all honesty. We want to avoid pain. We want to avoid suffering. But the Holy Spirit knows that we need to go through that path of suffering to receive the glory that is through our understanding the gospel in every aspect of our lives. Remember, Christ suffered for us. He laid down his life, and he said, whoever comes after me must deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is a great reminder that we are to be living sacrifices. Consider a little bit more the work of the Christ, the work of Christ on the cross, but then also consider the work of the empty tomb and rise up. And as Jesus said to the woman, go and sin no more. I hope that all of this encourages you, and if it has, I hope that you'll be an encouragement to us. You can write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com, or you can look us up on social media. On behalf of everyone here at Songtime, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse. It's Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith.